Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Monday, August 2nd. Back with us now is Dr. Lena Wen, who has given us so much good information about COVID during the whole pandemic. One thing about the new CDC guidelines as background before we start, they are based in part on a big outbreak over the last month in Provincetown, Massachusetts on Cape Cod. Maybe you've been hearing about this, about 900 people infected, stemming originally from 4th of July weekend tourist crowds. 74% of the infected people were vaccinated. 79% of those vaccinated cases were symptomatic. But now the good news, only 7 hospitalizations out of 900 cases, and a nice round number, 0 deaths. Dr. Lena Wen is an emergency medicine physician, George Washington University professor, and CNN and Washington Post medical contributor. And again, her book is called Lifelines, A Doctor's Journey in Public Health. Dr. Wen, thank you for everything so far during this period, and welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. It's a pleasure to join you. Thank you for all the work that you're doing to help to educate people about what is going on with COVID-19.
Well, let's start on the news, and then we'll talk about the book. So about Provincetown, what's actually the bigger news here, the spread among so many vaccinated people or the 0 deaths and only 7 hospitalizations out of 900 cases?
Right. I mean, I think that people are really drawing the wrong lesson from what is happening or with the outbreak investigation in Provincetown. The correct lesson first is to say that the vaccines worked. I mean, if we did not have the vaccines, imagine the thousands of people who would have gotten infected, the many dozens, if not hundreds of people who could have ended up in the hospitals, and the individuals who would have died. I mean, the benefit of the vaccines is that it prevents serious illness. It prevents hospitalizations and deaths. The vaccines in this case did exactly what they were supposed to do. The other issue that I think is illustrated in this is now we do know that you can have breakthrough infections with the Delta variant. If you're fully vaccinated, there is a chance that you could become infected with COVID-19, and there is a chance that if you were infected, you could transmit it to others. The takeaway here is not that the vaccines don't work. It's that it matters if you are vaccinated, whether people around you are vaccinated or not. As in, if you're vaccinated, think of the vaccine as a really good raincoat. If you are in a drizzle, it's fine. But if you are now in the midst of thunderstorms where there's a lot of rain around you, the raincoat isn't going to protect you fully. And so I think the takeaway here is that we need to stop having this live and let live attitude of, well, if I'm vaccinated, who cares that people around me are vaccinated? No, it matters to you. For example, in my case, I live at home with 2 young children who are too young to be vaccinated. If I am around unvaccinated people who could have COVID-19 all day, chances are much higher that I may become a carrier to infect my children. And so I think that is the bigger lesson here, that we need indoor mask mandates again in areas of the country with high coronavirus transmission, not because of the vaccinated, but because of the unvaccinated. The honor code that the CDC was relying on before just never worked. It was never going to work. I was opposed to it from the very beginning for this reason. Now we're seeing for the first time since February, the CDC reported over 100,000 new daily cases in the U.S., and this is a major issue. And the issue is not because there's something wrong with the vaccines. It's because so many people did not get the vaccines.
Right. And hospitalizations are rising nationally and deaths are rising nationally, although not as much as last winter when there was a similar number of total cases being reported. How do you explain that?
That, again, is the benefit of the vaccines. We know that older individuals, individuals with chronic medical conditions, people residing in nursing homes, these were the groups that were hit the hardest with hospitalizations and deaths. Well, this is also the group with the highest rate of vaccinations. And so I think this is great that, and again, the benefit of the vaccines, right? We have prevented serious illness, but we still have less than half of the U.S. is fully vaccinated. This is a major problem. We are nowhere near anything approaching herd immunity. Also consider that now that we have the Delta variant, which is the most contagious yet, we actually need to have a higher threshold of herd immunity than before. And so the task that we have ahead of us becomes even harder. And I think we really need to make it clear the problem is not those who have gotten vaccinated. If you are vaccinated, your chance of being a carrier to others is much decreased. You are not a public health threat. The concern is those who have yet to be vaccinated, who have the choice of being unvaccinated. And I actually think that we really need to change this dynamic around so that vaccination becomes the easy, default, convenient choice rather than, you know, what's happened with the honor code is that people can be unvaccinated and go about public life the same as before. That's the problem.
I want to ask a couple of P-Town related things and then move on to some larger picture things. One is that the spread in Provincetown, we should say, seems to be from indoor contact, even though it was 4th of July weekend. July 4th was a rainy weekend on Cape Cod, and people were spending a lot of time indoors, from what I've read, in small, poorly ventilated bars and restaurants. So it was basically an indoor phenomenon in unmasked situations, despite it being a July 4th weekend phenomenon. People's first impression might be, this took place on the beach. What? So do you have any reason to believe that Delta spreads outdoors more than other variants based on this, though?
Well, we know that the Delta variant is the most contagious of the lot, but there's nothing to suggest that if you are walking outside and someone around you has COVID, that somehow you're going to get COVID from that casual interaction. I mean, no one is recommending outdoor masking for just everyday use. I do think that we need to be very careful about indoor, poorly ventilated settings, especially ones in which people are engaging in for long periods of time. And again, I really don't want us to draw the wrong lessons from what happened in Barnstable County in the Provincetown outbreak, because by all accounts, there were individuals who were spending, as you were saying, Brian, a lot of time indoors in cramped settings. We're not talking about casual interactions in people going shopping in a well-ventilated grocery store. I don't want people who are vaccinated to now be panicking and thinking, oh my goodness, I now need to hunker down and not see anyone again. I really want the lesson to be that we need to be thinking about our own risk here. So the way that I would process this is think about your own medical risk and the medical risk of those in your household. If you're healthy, everybody else in your household is also vaccinated, the risk to you is still very low, because even if you have a breakthrough infection, you're not going to get very sick, chances are. On the other hand, if you live at home with someone who is unvaccinated or immunocompromised, you should take additional precautions. And so, for example, for me, because I have two young children, my husband and I will mask in indoor crowded settings when we're in the grocery store, when we're at church. But we are not going to be masking outdoors. Right. If we have people coming to visit us, we're happy to have visitors who are fully vaccinated. But if the visitor told us that they were just at a rave or something with thousands and thousands of people, we might want them to quarantine and get tested prior to coming to visit our children.
Well, tell us more about that. How much should the new data change the behavior of vaccinated people in their homes and for, let's say, their vacation plans the rest of this summer? So what the CDC was saying back in May, I guess, was, okay, if you're vaccinated, and even if you're a much older person, you can now have friends who are also vaccinated in your home, and you can hang out without masks. Is that different now? Also, what about bigger groups? Like one situation I've heard of, a group of 10 college friends, all vaccinated, renting a house for a summer vacation. Now, is that safe anymore?
So here's, again, the way that I would think about it. If you are a healthy person or generally healthy person and you do not live at home with somebody who has severe immunocompromise or is unvaccinated, I think you should be able to go about doing all the things that you just talked about. I think you should definitely be able to get together with people for dinner, go out to restaurants, and basically, I don't think much should change for you if you are a generally healthy and fully vaccinated individual. On the other hand, if you live at home with someone who is more vulnerable because they're not vaccinated or they don't have the full protection because of immunocompromise, I do think that you should cut risk. Nothing at this point is risk-free, but think about how can you reduce that risk as much as possible. And so for me and for my husband, again, we'll wear masks in indoor crowded settings. We will have people over to our house who are fully vaccinated and who we believe are generally lower risk individuals. But if, again, if somebody frequents bars every night and if they, I mean, if they just went to a really large indoor event, we're probably not going to have that person over indoors. We'll see them outdoors.
Right. But so what about, and when you define higher risk groups, what about an 85-year-old who's vaccinated, who started getting together with their grandchildren again, only in the spring after a long gap? Now what?
I think that people need to think about their own risk tolerance as well as their values, and understand that risk in this case is additive. And so I think a lot of grandparents will say, it's really, really important for me to see my grandchildren. And but if that's the case, don't see your grandchildren and then also go to the indoor gym without a mask and then also go to into an indoor crowded bar. See your grandchildren. Ideally, the safest thing to do, of course, is still to see the grandchildren outdoors and then also to think about what are the grandchildren doing in terms of their activities. You want to see, are you going to be a risk to your grandchildren? Probably not, because your risk exposure is pretty low. Are your grandchildren going to be a risk to you? Well, chances are not really, because you're still well protected because of the vaccine. But if your grandchildren just went away to an indoor camp and spent lots of time with a bunch of people, and some of them may have coronavirus by virtue of being in a hotspot, then maybe see the grandchildren outdoors right after they came back from that camp. There's no right or wrong answer, but I think at this point we need to be having hard conversations with people in our lives about what their risk exposure is, and then also think for ourselves about what do we value the most, and which of those activities do we want to make sure that we bring into our lives, knowing that nothing is zero risk.
Ralph in Astoria, you're on WNYC with Dr. Lena Wen. Hi, Ralph.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. You partially answered my my question, but it's a travel or vacation question. I'm 68 years old, and I took my Moderna vaccine, both of them. And I'm looking around to see how long is the effect of the vaccine, right? Because by the time I return, I'm scheduled for a trip to Croatia. I'm going to be returning right under the limit of 6 months. And I see between 6 and 8 months. So I'm wondering, because if I would have to cancel, you know, I wouldn't want to, but I would, you know, because I want to be careful.
Ralph, thank you. And that raises the question of booster shots after 6 months, too. Apparently, they're doing it in Israel and I think in France, correct me if I'm wrong, for immunocompromised and older people.
You know, I have some criticism of our federal health officials here. One is what we were talking about before, which is I really think that they botched the messaging with the new CDC guidance, masking guidance, and in fact, with the guidance in May. They should have never relied on the honor code, but now they're confusing vaccinated people about their risk when actually the risk is from unvaccinated people to unvaccinated people. But I also think that they're making a mistake here on boosters. I think what we should be saying to people is that I think we should be allowing individuals to make decisions with their doctors about whether to get boosters at this point. Now, healthy people who got vaccinated really should not be needing boosters right now. However, if you are severely immunocompromised or if you're an older person with chronic medical issues, we do have data coming from Israel that a booster may be something that is advisable. Immunity does appear to wane over time. The Delta variant also, it appears that there is slightly less protection because of the with the vaccines that we have. And so a booster may be advisable for certain groups of people. I think it's not right, frankly, at this point for, I mean, there are individuals who figured out how to get a booster, but their own physician cannot be giving them a booster. They have to go to different pharmacies and really not tell the truth in order to get a booster shot that they need. And so I think that the federal government should change their guidance. But in response to Ralph, though, directly, you should travel. I think that the flights are actually are not that high risk. And and my advice to you is to wear an N95 or KN95 mask when flying, and then really be careful once you get to your destination. So look to see what the infection rates are at the places that you're at. If it looks like there's high infection rate, consider wearing a mask in indoor places. Avoid bars and other crowded settings. But I think you should travel and have a good time.
Ralph, I hope that's helpful. And I hope there are many beautiful outdoor dining options in lovely Croatia. Anna in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with Dr. Lena Nguyen. Hi, Anna.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. So I have a question that's kind of a variation on the theme of what you've been talking about. So I have a younger daughter who's too young to be vaccinated, and an adult daughter who thankfully is vaccinated, but lives with her boyfriend who is not vaccinated. And they've spent some time with his family who are also not vaccinated. And so I'm just trying to figure out how to navigate my older daughter spending time with my younger daughter, given that she is vaccinated, but is spending time with unvaccinated people. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yes. The new definition of a mixed household, Dr. Nguyen.
Right. I mean, I think a lot of people are in situations like that. So here's what I would say. One, the easiest of all the scenarios is seeing people outdoors. As far as we know, with the Delta variant, it's still going to be very safe for people to see each other outdoors. And so that should be without question that your kids, your two daughters can definitely get together outdoors without risk. Now, if they're getting together indoors, there is going to be risk. So here's how I would think about it. If you are vaccinated, yes, you are very well protected against severe illness. You're also well protected against contracting coronavirus. However, now we know that you can contract coronavirus. And if you do have COVID, you could spread it to others, because that was the Provincetown study, that the individuals who are fully vaccinated seem to have a high viral load and therefore are able to spread it to others. And so is there a risk with your older daughter and the people that she's surrounding herself with? Yes, especially because she lives with a boyfriend, as I understand, who's not vaccinated. So she is at high risk herself because of her exposures. So if I were in your shoes, and again, people have different risk tolerance, but if I were in your shoes, I wouldn't have her be in the same indoor space as my young unvaccinated daughter. I would try to have them together outdoors. And if they are going to be indoors, I would have everybody be masked and have the entire setting be well ventilated. Mm-hmm. The difference, I mean, if you wanted to, if your older daughter is going to be spending long periods of time with you, for example, if you're going away on vacation, she could quarantine for 3 to 5 days, get a negative test, and then come to see you, as in quarantine, as in not see her unvaccinated boyfriend and that family for 3 to 5 days, get tested, and then you can go away on vacation together.
Anna, I hope that's helpful. It may not be exactly what you were hoping to hear, but I hope that's helpful. One more P-Town question, and then we're going to turn the page and talk about your book. It was striking to me how few people needed to be hospitalized, even among the unvaccinated population there who got COVID. Only 7 total hospitalizations out of 900 infected people, but a quarter of those cases were among unvaccinated people. And that stands in contrast to me with something like what we're seeing in Florida now, which has it about the worst and is a relatively unvaccinated state and has all those policies against masking and capacity limits and stuff. Florida has 6% of the nation's population, 21% of the new cases, and they have their highest hospitalization rates now and death rates since March. But in P-Town, were the unvaccinated people in some way protected from the most serious illness by the vaccinated people who they might have gotten COVID from?
That's an interesting question. I don't know. We also don't have, I don't think, the demographics exactly to be able to do this kind of comparison between the demographics of the individuals. Were they younger, perhaps, with fewer medical illnesses? I mean, I don't know, and so it would be hard to speculate.
Yeah.
I will say that
it is a younger population, by the way. The P-Town, the median age was 40, so maybe it would be very different if the median age was 70.
Right. And I do think that there are a couple of other things that we don't know the answer to that I think would actually help to contextualize the Provincetown example better. One is how many people were exposed? Because right now we're missing a denominator. We know the number of people who got infected, and it sounds like a lot. But if it actually turns out that thousands and thousands of people were exposed, but many people did not get COVID, that's a really important number. The other part is, we don't really know if you are asymptomatic and vaccinated, but you have a breakthrough infection. Are you able to pass it on to others? Right now, the entire CDC guidance seems to have changed because of this finding that that individuals who are vaccinated have a high viral load. But what if you are asymptomatic? Do you still have enough of a viral load to be able to infect others? And so I think, again, I think we should have indoor mask mandates, but not because of the Provincetown study. I think we should have indoor mask mandates because we can't trust the unvaccinated to be putting on masks. And because we can't trust the honor code, everybody has to put on masks in order to protect the unvaccinated from the unvaccinated. Yeah.
I did read, by the way, in partial answer to your denominator question, that there were about 60,000 people in P-Town that weekend. So 900 out of 60,000 makes a kind of a different story. Dr. Lena Nguyen, her new book is Lifelines, A Doctor's Journey in the Fight for Public Health. She's got a number of personal appearances coming up in conjunction with a book that you can attend virtually. Dr. Nguyen, congratulations on the book and look forward to continuing our conversations.
Thank you. Same here, Brian.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.